Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Stu.
And this is Bad Screenplays.
We've been writing screenplays for years, but couldn't get anyone to read them.
On each episode, I read an unsolicited script.
And I read one. We pull them apart and decide if they're any good, but mostly try and have fun with them.
Maybe these screenplays will attract attention or get greenlit by First Draft Productions, our own fictional production company. Apparently there's a Christmas film. I haven't seen it. It's called The Holiday. People might have, listening to this, might have watched it. And apparently that's all Jack Black does throughout the whole film is scoobity-beep-bop.
Man, I got made to watch that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that what he does?
It's like Winslet,
yeah.
Cameron Diaz, yeah. Jude Law, and then Jack Black. Yeah.
Is that what he really does?
I can't remember, but he's just typically Jack Black.
He's just
like that whole yeah.
Just plays like the stoner toddler in every film, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Gets hooked up with Winslet.
What have you been up to, mate, anyway, yourself recently?
What have I been up to? It's Christmas. Christmas.
Doing stuff for Christmas.
Yeah. we're like Debenhams, you know, we're doing our Christmas special earlier in the year.
Yeah, or like people on Jules Holland's counting down, 10, 9, and they're all there, everyone across the country, because everyone stays up to watch Jules Holland's on New Year's Eve, oblivious, yeah. Like, oh my God, wow, all those people are actually there, oblivious that he's just recorded it in like fucking
right.
November.
Yeah. Guess what, everyone? The Killers didn't decide to spend their New Year's with Jules Holland.
Shattered an illusion, like, but...
Yeah. And you know, Vic Reeves normally's there.
Yeah, he's always there. But no, I've been quite busy. I've actually sold me Shawn Mendes' embroidered vest and worn NFTs on Crypto Dragon.
What?
So I've got loads of Ethereum, so I'm just going to go and buy some dragon eggs. Like,
Good for you. I wouldn't sell your ETH at the moment. But it is Christmas, so it might have gone up again.
No, someone's clearly buying worn in for one of the lucky children. Just wrapping them up Christmas Eve.
NFTs. I love
it. Mate, it's like, it's definitely the biggest scam ever.
The metaverse. What's your take on the metaverse? Did you watch that, Mark Zuckerberg?
I watched all of the memes taking the mick out of him, but I didn't actually watch the thing where he just talks like that. This is the metaverse.
Did we talk about this on the last podcast?
We don't miss an opportunity to talk about Zuckerberg, but I don't think we spoke about the metaverse.
So he did that. They did that big announcement where they rebranded the company Meta.
Yeah.
You know, and he did that thing talking about the metaverse.
God.
And, like, he did... I know Facebook, like, craft everything that they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all considered and everything. But he did two things in that announcement that actually made me go, he's all right.
Oh, really? No way.
Like, he was, hey, I'll do an avatar or something. And then he's, like... swiping, trying to like do his avatar, and he just chooses the same black shirt he has everywhere, and he's like, yeah, I thought, a little self-deprecate, you know, a bit funny. And then he goes into some like boardroom, some VR boardroom.
Oh yeah.
And then all his mates are there, and like, I guess his mates, you know, his chief financial officer or something.
His mates. He doesn't have any friends.
CTO, CFO. All his mates are there, and he goes, hey, like, Jake, I didn't recognize you. And then Jake's like this big like mech, transform. Yeah. And he goes, and Zuckerberg looks in the camera. He goes, I thought I was supposed to be the robot.
For him to make you think he's not so bad, has cost Zuckerberg 150 employees and like, I don't know, $25 million. To research that exact joke just for you to go,
yeah. All right, I probably saw a different joke to everyone else. It was tailored to me. It was a deep fake.
He's been like in your ass for the past couple of years, scrolling through every single message you've ever sent. Stuart gets this one.
Yeah, he's a robot.
Oh man, his reaction to some of the things where like something amazing had happened, and go and fight, and he'd just go, whoa, cool. It's always just like really like
response number 17.
Whoa, insert response here.
Oh man. So have you been working? Are you back on the sets?
Yes, I have been working on a Mohamed Salah advert for Pepsi, which is quite fun.
Oh,
because
nice.
I'm a Liverpool supporter and I didn't want him to get hit, and it was this thing I had to run down. Can't really, I don't know whether I'm allowed to talk about this. I haven't signed an agreement over an advert, I was quite concerned about some falling off this thing that we built because he had to run down it.
Ooh.
And that was a bit scary because he's worth a lot of money and stuff. Got loads and loads of free Pepsi, which is quite fun.
Did you?
Yeah, loads. In a bottle as well. We're not sponsored by Pepsi, obviously, because we're just tied up the podcast, but it was nice getting free Pepsi.
Nice, that's great.
Went to Johnny Walker advert and got no free Johnny Walker.
Would have gone lovely with the Pepsi.
They're spending big at the minute, Johnny Walker. They're spending big. Check out, now I've mentioned it, look for Johnny Walker product placements and things and you'll see it everywhere. They're going for it big time. Yeah, it's crazy.
Aren't they owned by like Diageo, or are they one of the few that aren't?
I'm not sure, you know.
Like, isn't like Guinea, like Diageo own like, like every brand that you think was an independent brand.
Yeah, of course.
They're Johnny Walker, Smirnoff, Captain Morgan's, Bailey's, Tanqueray, Guinness.
Oh shit.
Don Julio, J&B, Crown Royal, Kettle One. They own everything.
Oh my god.
It's one company, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Oh, so Johnny Walker's in there.
So they can just decide it's Johnny Walker's time now and just spend hundreds of millions on advertising and stuff.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Wow. Oh well, it'll probably work on me.
I always wanted to try a Johnny Blue, but the opportunity never came up.
That's like the really expensive one.
Yeah, it is. And every time you go through the duty free, I was like, ooh. But I don't, because I've not had it, and I don't really, you know... Whiskey, I do, you know, I don't mind a whiskey. I like a whiskey, but I'm not in love with it. So it was never, okay.
Yeah. It's a funny one. I do really like whiskey, but the thought of buying like such a big brand's expensive version of one seems like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm getting, and the bottle looks the same on the blue label to all the other ones anyway. I feel like I'm getting like an expensive Jack Daniels or something.
Right, you know? Right. And I think I was telling you about this. There was this Woodford. I think it was a Woodford Reserve double oak.
Oh yes, you told me about that.
and some friend had it in his cabinet, you know, having a night in, you know, over at his, and he said, oh, you got to try this. And it just, it was one of those moments like,
ooh, no way.
Oh, it was so good. So good.
Oh, I need to look out for this stuff. I need to look out for this stuff. Double, oh, well, it's Christmas.
Double oak.
It's yeah. Very close to Christmas, too, so you never know.
The shops are closed because it's Christmas.
Damn it. Crazy stuff, man. Absolutely crazy days. What else have I been up to?
the Christmas presents have been arriving.
Oh, they have been arriving. Did you get my presents off you? Did you get your presents off me, Stu?
I did.
Nice. I've got one here. Should we open them? Should we open them between screenplays? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do
Should
it.
We do that. Okay.
All right.
Cool.
We'll do it. Have you been watching anything?
Been watching. Everyone's been watching Succession. Come the Christmas time, probably will have finished Succession, but I haven't finished it yet. Have you been watching Succession like everyone else?
I have. I've been watching Succession, yeah. But I only got into it like a couple months ago.
Okay.
Like, I hadn't even heard of it. Like, it was...
Oh, mate.
So then I had two whole seasons to binge on and go, oh. And then I found there was a third series about to come out.
So you can. That's absolutely perfectly.
Like, I know.
It's one of those things now because it's so good and so many people are watching it. It's almost not entertaining to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like Breaking Bad now, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Too many people know about it now.
That's cool. I know, exactly. Well, it's around this time of year they start playing the old Star Wars films on terrestrial TV, and I saw Limmy tweeting about it recently, which is really funny. And I've just took a screen grab of it because it really, really made me laugh. And he tweeted, "Just finished watching Return of the Jedi again. I would never tire of torturing the Ewoks to death." And then he followed it up by saying, "The whole of Endor would stink of Sage's hair and mints."
Mints! He knows what he's going to do then. He's got a plan.
He's got a plan. He's going to mince them and burn them.
Oh, I love it.
Sage's hair and mints.
You'd never get that stank out.
Oh, God. So I'm going to drink. Well, watching Return of the Jedi and thinking of the smells like a 4DX cinema.
Do you think I should finally do it and watch Star Wars?
Oh my god. I think you should watch A Star War, at least.
A Star War? Which Star War should I watch?
I think you should watch the first Star War and then see if you want to take it to the next level and watch Star Wars.
First as in the first one that was ever made, or the first as in number one?
You've seen number one. It's the only one you've seen.
Oh, I have, yeah. Jar Jar.
It's like the worst one.
I don't know. It was all right.
It's coming back, though. It's becoming like a hipster meme thing, a meme fest, because they're so bad.
Everyone who got a Jar Jar tattoo is finally able to roll that sleeve up again.
Yeah, they've been hiding it like the Lost Prophets ones, hasn't he, over the years? Like,
oh man. He signed me arm and I just got it tattooed on. Did you? I think I've seen that online.
I think you sent me it. It's the type of thing you would just send me with no explanation.
Yeah, totally out of context.
Yeah. No context needed, that's it.
I got a movie, but I haven't watched it yet. It's the 2021 Nick Cage movie. Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Called Prisoners of the Ghostland.
Of course.
I think Nick's heading down the old Seagal route here.
He certainly is. But then he pops up like a little indie classic every now and then, doesn't he? Like, that pig's meant to be really good.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Sounds like a band that would be like 17th on the bill on Download or something.
Yeah, they're opening Sunday afternoon. Lunchtime.
Oh no, Prisoners of the Ghostlands are going to clash with Sepultura. I'm going to have to miss Prisoners.
Yeah, just Prisoners.
Have you got your wristbands again into the Ghostland gig?
Prisoners of the Ghostland, 2 stars.
Guardian gave it 3.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh. Alright. Well, maybe it's not that bad.
It looks like a bit of an action Bloodfest.
In the cast and credits, Nicolas Cage is down as Hero. And another guy is down as the Psycho. And then someone else is the Governor.
In the villain? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right.
Psycho. It looks like the type of film where a 22-year-old Japanese lady's going to fall in love with Nicolas Cage at the end.
Yeah.
It looks like one of them. You know, like all those really crappy Stallone action films, like The Expendables, and then as soon as there's a young, attractive female in it, it's like, oh yeah, well, you have to fall in love with fucking 69-year-old Stallone now. Okay, yeah, that's believable.
Mr. Stallone says that he likes your acting.
It's to hire an interpreter to follow him around.
Yeah. Mr. Stallone would like coffee, please. Yeah.
Mr. Stallone's had a stroke. Right. Okay, Stu, the reason we're here, we're going to read some Christmas scripts because it's Christmas Day or
correct.
It's Christmas Eve, whatever day you're listening to this, whatever we decide to release it. I'm leaning towards Christmas Eve, Stu. I think Christmas Eve could be fun, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Do that.
Okay, so it's Christmas.
So happy Christmas Eve, everybody.
Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. As per usual, got no idea who read the last script. But this is the first one back, Stu. This is the first one time we've come back since
it is.
May.
Hello.
First time people heard our voices since May.
Wow.
How crazy is that? I think we just let the cat out the bag, actually, by saying who read the last one, because we've been recording scripts, episodes, by the bucket load.
We have. We really have. Yeah, we've got a good few saved up, and we're going to spend some time getting them real nice.
Yes.
Editing them down, getting some great songs. Mark's working on those.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope to give you a bit more of what you've been listening to already, and it'll be even better, I hope. We've done some great scripts already, so
yes,
we'll get them all polished, you know, stack them up, and then we'll figure out a time to release them.
Yeah, we'll be back soon. So this is a little teaser to say Merry Christmas. We're gonna be back next year, possibly depending on when how things work out, hopefully spring, early spring, you never know. And we're gonna release a season of episodes. Look forward to that.
Listen, I was going to send you a script that I thought was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what it is, and I don't do it intentionally, but I always end up sending you sleazy scripts.
So you do it intentionally just so I have to read these scripts out?
No. Actually, that's probably what makes it funny, is thinking of you.
Okay, do you know what?
No, but I haven't. Okay. I've sent you in the spirit of the holidays. I've sent you something else this time. So
okay. So I've sent you a script called Santa Lives. If you would care to read that out, Stu, as wonderfully as you always do.
Santa Lives, kinda. Exclamation mark. Okay, written by Devin M. Rush. Internal living room. The Fisher House. Morning. The fireplace crackles. The lights on the Christmas tree twinkle in rhythm with the soft carol playing on the old record player. It's Christmas morning at the Fisher House. Beautiful scene setting.
Oh, yes.
Tom, 40s, almost morbidly overweight, my man, and showing no signs of slowing down.
My man.
Hey. chugs back his morning coffee while reading the paper. You got paper on Christmas morning.
Okay.
Dottie, 40s, drops a pile of wrinkled red cloth onto the coffee table, landing right on Tom's paper and knocking it out of his grip. Tom slams his mug on the table and groans. He picks up the fabric and spreads it out in the air to inspect it. It's a Santa Claus costume.
Have you been made to do this at any time, like, yet, Stu?
No, but I do recall now searching Amazon for Santa suits over the last couple of years.
Oh, shit. No way. I think it's all of our futures, Stu. It's inevitable, isn't it?
Well, I know. They've got to be able to tell. There was the boss at work who, when I started, that was his thing. Like, and he looked like Santa.
Okay.
like normally, the guy who hired me. He big guy, fit that Santa suit every year. Love, you know, the lovely little kiddies. He'd do the Christmas party at work and everyone would bring the kids along and they loved
that's
it.
That's cool.
He gave out the presents and everything, you know. And he, you know, really lived the Santa lifestyle. But but he's dead now. He had a heart attack.
Shit. That's the thing about the Santa lifestyle, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I know.
That was a sad story, shit.
As is my wont to do. Yeah, unfortunately, he passed.
Okay. That's not funny. Why am I laughing? Stop it. So to be fair, like, you imagine Santa saying, like, if I could eat cookies by the truckload and drink glass after glass of whiskey, I'd be dead.
I'd do that every day if I could.
Is that a true story?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Genuinely.
Okay. I can never tell with you because you got such a little bit of devilment about you.
Tom. Okay, he picked. It looks smaller than it did last year. Tom raises an eyebrow. Tom, this should be fun. Dottie, well, you should have went on that diet. I bet you regret it now, don't you? I just don't see why I have to be the one to humiliate myself every year. Back in my day, kids hated Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. That song scared the hell out of me. Dottie. Oh, Tom, quit. It's a lovely song. You only have to do this once a year. Now, don't be such a wet blanket.
We did that last year, didn't we? With the, was it Satan Claus?
Satan Claus, yeah.
When you're sleeping.
That was some good metal we put in that one.
It was.
Satan Claus. Wow, that was a whole year ago.
It was a whole year ago.
Tom eyes the Santa suit, then folds it over his arm and heads down the hallway. I swear this will be the last time you see me in this stupid suit, woman. I'm telling the kids Santa doesn't exist today.
He must have knew this is coming.
Yeah, it's Christmas Day. Yeah. Do that, says Dottie, and Mama won't leave any goodies out for you tonight. Tom laughs. Tom, goodies? Does it look like I need any more goodies? I'll be damned if I let you fatten me up.
She's bought him a goodies DVD.
Now he's a baddie.
Now he's a baddie. A Bill Oddie face mask.
Yeah, yeah. Radicalise. Move. And adapt.
What's rude adapt. About a body? Tits.
Be odd. This is Bill Oddie. Lovely. I love it. I've just started from the Oast House.
The what?
Partridge's podcast.
Oh shit, I don't know anything about this.
If you have, you have to have Audible.
Okay. Oh,
it's brilliant. It's so good.
Really? Oh man,
it's so good.
Audible. I've got a bit of a thing with Amazon.
From the host house. Dot it. Do that. Tom laughs. Goodies. Do it like any. I'll be damned if I let you fatten me up. They both look down at Tom's stomach but say nothing. Dottie switches to her sexy charm, running her finger from Tom's belt line past his overstuffed belly and his double chins, all the way up to his ever gaping, always greasy donut hole that's his mouth. best line so far.
I love that phrase, donut hole.
Donuts, pop this in your donut hole. Ever gaping. I love it. It's like Bill Berg, those mouth-breathing morons. she caresses his lips softly. It's creepy how into it she is. Mm. But at the same time, it's kind of hot too.
Okay.
Dottie, she winks at him. I think you know what I mean. I just love how much Christmas cheer you get from eating my figgy pudding. Don't worry, I'll make it extra moist for you since you've been such a good boy this year. That's Jess talking about food.
Yep. Okay.
Tom drew figgy pudding.
I'm sorry, man. That's as far as the innuendo goes.
I think we're talking about.
Yep.
Tom drools, then chokes. Tap, tap, boom. The sound of playful feet crashing to the floor upstairs. Hurry, the kids are up. Dotty shoves Tom toward the hallway bathroom. Go on, get dressed. I'll set everything up. And don't worry, I'll have them take it easy on you this year. And remember, the truth will only destroy their imaginations.
Forever.
Tom heads down the dark corridor. Living room, moments later. The kids, Lisa, 12, and Junior, 6, Junior.
Junior.
No offence to any juniors out there, but...
I know.
Come on.
try harder.
Try harder.
I've always wondered about that name, you know. Just is does that mean isn't it the kid's name is Tom or the kid's name is Junior?
Oh, I don't know. It'll be Tom Junior, won't it?
It confused me.
I've been watching a lot of Dog the Bounty Hunter this week.
Of course you have.
Reason is, I got a new TV, right? Mm. It's a Samsung. Other brands are available. And Samsung TVs now come with their own TV service, like over the internet called like Samsung TV.
Okay.
It's like a couple hundred channels of just...
What?
There's a Baywatch channel.
That's insane.
24/7 Baywatch.
So it's not like a on-demand thing? It's just on all the time?
No, it's like watching TV.
Oh, my God.
It's just straight... And there's a Dog the Bounty Hunter channel.
The big bad dog. I'm the dog. And so, obviously, as opposed to skipping past it, you just stopped on the Dog the Bounty Hunter 24-hour channel.
Yeah, you can't, you know, it's like, it's, you know, on the surface it looks like one thing, but once you start to get to know the dog a little bit, as I have, he's a complex character. Anyway, he's got a kid called Junior, Dwayne Junior.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
Why is he called Dog? Is that his, obviously it's not his real name.
I don't know if there's a reason. I mean, I think it's just cool.
Is his name like Doggett and like Dogshaw?
No, no, his name's like Dwayne Chapman.
Okay. I can see why he's called himself Dog.
Dude's got like 12 kids.
Whoa. They don't want to see me.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yep.
Right.
Wow, Dog. Okay.
Junior. They race downstairs in their footy pajamas.
Footy pajamas. I wonder if it's like football pajamas or pajamas with feet in.
Oh, yeah.
Or sales of Cristiano Ronaldo pajamas have been suspended until the conclusion of his trial or something like. So I've got Kylian Mbappe on those pajamas instead.
I love it. Dotty. Who's ready to see the amazing Santa Claus? Junior wipes the lenses of his oversized glasses.
Oh, Junior. What? Poor Junior.
Poor guy.
I see Ralphie from A Christmas Story now.
I just see Uncle Junior from The Sopranos.
40 grand I had. From the 70s.
Who was this guy? He's got big glasses too.
He's got big glasses. Oh, have you seen The Many Saints in Newark?
No.
I thought it was really good. A lot of people weren't too keen on it. I thought it was great.
Tell me more.
The guy who plays Junior is excellent as well.
Oh, really? This is the first I'm hearing about it.
Okay, so Sopranos film.
Is this a prequel?
Yes, prequel film that came out recently.
What?
And it's... Are you like very familiar with Sopranos lore? Or like a little bit familiar?
Oh, I'm deep into The Sopranos.
Okay, so
not Keanu Keough level, but I'm
yeah.
Yeah.
So the main protagonist is Christopher Moltisanti's dad, Dickie Moltisanti.
Yeah,
and it's about him mentoring and showing young Tony Soprano the way things work and all that.
Oh.
And you presume you know this, the guy who plays young Tony Soprano is Michael Gandolfini, James Gandolfini's son.
Actual son.
And he does a great job. Does a really good job.
Wow.
But casting of all the other characters is not bang on the money, but the guy that gets to play Junior, he's a well-known actor. He does a great job. Does a really good job.
All right, I've got to watch that. That's good.
It's good.
Chew. Yeah. All right, Junior wipes the... Dottie pulls a fire extinguisher from behind her back. She cuts the lights out and blasts intense 80s metal on the record player. Tom walks in with a slow, confident stride. Dottie sprays the extinguisher in his feet, so it looks like he's walking through thick smoke. Looks more like he's wading through a pool of thick milk. Junior and Lisa cheer at the poor old guy in the skin-tight big red suit. He looks like a giant red bowling ball with random white and black trim, only less defined and more a sloppy old blob.
With that music playing, it's just like, sounds like Axl Rose nowadays turned up, doesn't it?
Mr. Rose.
Mr. Rose.
What song did you think of when I said 80s metal?
I heard like thrash metal, like a clicky fast drum beat, like a sort of Metallica breakdown, like a sort of like...
Yeah, that's kind of what I got.
As opposed to some slime ball, sleazy, Nikki Sixx sort of thing.
Ho, ho, ho. Now who's ready to have a Merry Christmas? Says Tom. Tom's speaking is laboured. He can barely breathe. The suit is way too tight. He chokes and hacks. Junior and Lisa look at each other. Is he serious? Tom, continue. I hope you've both been good, because Santa's been hard at work all year with my elves making iPads and Xbox 360s for all the good little boys and girls. Lisa and Junior snigger under their breath. Lisa, looks like you should have been spending all year making a bigger outfit. Well, that's not very nice. Lisa, don't go ruining your Christmas now.
Oh, man.
I'll take your presents right back to the north and give them to the sick elves in the hospital that don't have anything.
I'm going to have an asthma attack, stop it.
Like Tom.
Oh, man.
Honestly, you should go all the way back to the North Pole and slap your wife for letting you leave the house like that. Oh. Lisa, says Dottie. Oh! Lisa, look, where's Daddy? He'd love to rip this Santa a new one. Junior points at Tom's bulging lower region. Oh, I can see Santa's... Junior, don't, says Dottie. He can't resist. It's smoked Christmas sausage. Yeah. Tom turns as red as the suit. The kids laugh at him. All he hears is their laughter. Their laughing faces surround him. They imprison him.
Just like circling heads around him as he has to get louder and louder, sort of thing.
Bohemian Rhapsody style.
Yeah.
Yeah, the black background. I can see it. Yeah. See, as a first draft production...
Oh, it's a good script. It's really good.
That's it. He snaps. Tom lets out a loud battle cry. Then throws his...
Just say like... in the background, like...
like a velociraptor.
Yeah.
He throws his fat sack of gifts right into the Christmas tree. The tree topples backwards into the fireplace. The kids look on in horror as the room quickly fills with thick black smoke.
Oh no.
The fire alarm squeals. Lisa, my presents. Junior, my presents. Together. Dotty, my babies. Tom, my house. Dotty and Tom each grab a kid and race outside as the fire consumes the family couch before working its way down the corridor. External the Fisher house moments later. The whole family watches as the house burns to the ground.
Whoa.
Sirens blare and two fire trucks screech to a stop. It's too late. There isn't much left to say.
Wow, that was quick.
Cut to two police officers slam Tom to the ground. Officer one cuffs him. Officer one. Come on, you crazy old goat. You're going downtown.
For what?
I know. Junior looks up at Officer 2 with his big dark eyes. Junior. Yo, Mr. Policeman. Where are you taking Santa?
He just got all street, didn't he, Junior?
He did for a second.
Yo, Mr. Yeah. Policeman, where they taking Santa?
Oh, he's burned down our house, Junior, says Lisa. He's going to butt-pounding jail. Butt-pounding jail. Dotty sobs as Tom is lifted to his feet. His face and Santa beard are littered with random blades of grass and small dirt clots. Dirt clots?
Mm-hmm. Clot of mud.
That's not Santa, kids. They're taking your daddy away. Tom, let me go. This is my house, pig.
Pig. Oh, God.
Officer One pulls off Tom's fake beard and hat. The kids finally recognise him. Kids. Daddy. Wait, Dad, you're Santa, says Junior. The two officers look at each other with raised eyebrows. Well, this is awkward, says Officer One. Look, kids, I've got a confession to make. Santa's fake. He's not real. It was me this whole time. I'm not crazy. I wanted to tell you two, but your mother...
Oh, yeah, blame your mother. Yeah. It's not my fault.
It's your mother. She... Officer 2. Yeah. Okay, we'll sort this out of the station. Tom's suit finally shreds due to moth holes and his intense weight. He's almost fully naked, except for a red Christmas thong. Thankfully.
He didn't need to put a thong on, did he?
Well, if he hadn't, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
As Tom, half naked, that's more than half, is shoved into the back of a waiting squad car, he shouts in glee. Woo! I'm free! I'll never wear that suit again. The door is slammed in his face. Officer 2 tries to comfort the now hysterically crying Dotty. Merry Christmas, Mom. If you ever... Merry Christmas, ma'am. If you ever need a drink or sex or anything, please don't hesitate to call me.
What?
Lost her home and her husband.
Wait a minute. They just turned up and arrested the guy without reading him his rights for absolutely no discernible crime. Mind you, did they think that a Santa had broken into the house to burn the house down?
Maybe, but Dotty just got me too'd.
Yes, he did. 100% by a police officer.
The cops and firemen hop in their vehicles and speed off. Junior looks up at Dotty, who's trying to hide her tears. He tugs at the hem of her bathrobe. Junior, Mummy, can you make Daddy dress up as Santa again next year? Lisa, yeah, that was so cool. Fade out. The end.
Oh...
Well, he lost his house, his family, his freedom.
Yeah, his liberty, everything. But his little girl
Merry
thought it was
Christmas.
Dead funny.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. The kids had a good time. They got no house, no presents. But it's fine.
Love it.
Well read, Stu.
Thank you very much. Good choice.
As always, it was fun. Dud.
I'm dreaming of a shite Christmas, and Santa's got a camel toe. Dad, he's had far too many festive biscuits. bird family memories in the snow.
It was well written, well put together.
It was. There were some good lines in there. I like that.
I think it definitely intended to put a point across, make you laugh, paint a picture, and it was in what it set out to do. I think it was absolutely 100% successful.
The more we read these, the more I really want to make one of them into a first draft production.
I know, man.
Come on, Netflix, commission us.
That's really self-contained, that one, isn't it? You know, it was like a 15 minute long episodes of like a little short or something. That's all self-contained, and the writing's all there.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Seeing as it's Christmas, Stu, should we open some presents?
Yeah.
Shall we?
Hold on. We get so much stuff arrive at the house now. And then when this came, I was like, oh, hold on a minute. I don't remember this.
Well, you were considerate enough to label it with bad screenplay, so mine was just slipping amongst all your other stuff, because this time of year you order loads of stuff online. So I apologise, but you did well spotting it.
Well, we're about to find out probably this isn't the thing you've sent me.
I certainly hope that someone hasn't opened the thing that I've sent you by mistake.
Oh, what is it? Let's have a look.
Okay,
can I go?
You go. All right. This is my present to Stu for this year.
It's like an A4 paper-sized envelope, mm-hmm. plastic. And it's soft.
Yeah.
Hold on, what have we got? Oh, it's some sort of garment. Oh, it's a T-shirt.
Yeah. What have you got, Stu? I'll explain it after you describe what you've got.
It's a white T-shirt, and it says, "This is my robot," and there's a picture of a robot, and then at the bottom it says, "Kill shitty humans."
What does it say on it, the actual text at the top?
"This is my robot. Kill shitty humans."
Oh God, it's not meant to say that. It's meant to say, "This is my robot. This is my human skin, or my human outfit, or something."
No, it says, "This is my robot." And there's a picture of a robot.
They fucked it up.
And it says, "Kill shitty humans."
They messed it up. Oh God, I bought it from some crappy t-shirt company. It's meant to be, "This is my robot skin. Kill shitty humans." Because I know that you've got a healthy concern about AI taking over the world.
AI, yeah.
So when the robots finally take over, you can wear the T-shirt and they'll all think that you're a robot.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them. You just want to kill shitty humans.
This is absolutely beautiful.
And that's your, thank you. And the fact that it hasn't turned
the
up.
The fact that it's wrong makes it even better.
It's just a massive fail.
I love it. "This is my robot. Kill shitty humans."
Maybe you're like a low level robot who can't quite speak just yet.
That's great. Okay. It's getting worn.
Okay. Well, I have
now. Look, mine isn't as funny.
Well, I mean,
but
it's fine.
But there's a caveat to it. I mean, I'll explain in a minute.
Okay. So again, it's a similar size A4 Jiffy bag. My name and address on it. There's bad screenplay. Okay, what have we got here?
I think this is something we're going to come back to in the coming episodes.
Okay, so it's been nicely wrapped inside the bag as well. Okay, what have we got here? Beautifully wrapped, Stu, in some nice tissue paper, some crepe paper. We've got the Pakwi One Chip Challenge. "Do not eat if you're sensitive to spicy foods." Oh. "Nightshades or capsicum, or if you're pregnant or any medical conditions."
There's no joke. I think there's a pair of rubber gloves in that box. There's one Dorito.
It's one Dorito.
But it's the hottest, spiciest Dorito you're ever going to eat. Now, the caveat is, and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I doubt you would either.
Okay.
But if you get anyone to do it, if you can think of someone who would want to,
I'm gonna have a look at this thing. Yeah.
Then film it.
Okay.
I think I'm going to do it. Not now.
No.
But I think I would do it.
Okay. I don't know whether it's a good idea to search YouTube for other people doing it first or not.
Okay, so it's quite a large chip. It's quite big. It's about twice the size of a normal tortilla.
You didn't open the packet, did you? Like the actual chip?
No. The chip okay, is good. In its own sealed bag. Listen.
And what shape is the main box?
Yeah, it's a coffin. So, made of Carolina Reaper pepper and scorpion pepper. So, round one, spicy punch. Round two, scorpion sting. Round three, vision disruptor. Round four, gut slash. Round five, roasted. So, these are all the stages you go through after you've eaten it.
Yeah, anger, denial.
Oh, my God. And then there's a poster inside the little coffin that says, I destroyed. Oh, my God, Stu, this is absolutely terrifying.
I know.
It's like a little black coffin with a crisp in it.
That's one crisp.
That's going to make you die. Okay. I'm going to watch a video of people eating this thing. And if
look it
if
up.
I feel like I can do it, then I'll definitely do it and film myself doing it and send it to you. Or I'll just live stream it and you can watch and take the piss.
Merry Christmas.
That's a great present. Wow. That's a great present.
You won't be saying that when you're swilling milk around your mouth.
Oh, I love watching those videos of people who think like, oh yeah, this is nothing, but someone has like a teaspoon of cinnamon or something.
Yeah, they go.
This one guy, I think he's like this guy in his 50s, and he flicks his head back like you're saying, and his mouth pierces forward, just goes, and he's just like, ah.
Well, that's not how it goes. Obviously, don't do it today, Christmas Day. No. You'll ruin your day.
No, absolutely not. Not very festive. Although, you know, it is quite festive to ruin Christmas Day, isn't it? Okay, so.
Yes.
We have a script. Now we've exchanged presents. We can get back to business. We can get back to Christmas Day. You can hear the fire crackling in the background.
Oh, listen to that.
Oh, sounds great.
Bloody carol singers, huh? Go away!
Oh, my, do you want a crisp? Okay. We have a script called White Christmas. Mm. Let's see who's written White Christmas. Let us see. Written by Jake Catalay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. White Christmas. External wooden cabin morning. There's a gigantic blizzard outside. A snow roars through the air with strong winds. Nothing can be seen in sight. Nothing but a man in a heavy fur coat. Is this Father Christmas again? Is this Santa Claus?
Yeah.
A scarlet red fur coat. He looks like Santa. Okay. His name is Duggan Blackheart.
Yeah.
So, okay. Duggan Blackheart. Late 30s. He has ski goggles over his eyes, a heavy scarf, leather gloves, and heavy boots. He knocks at the door of the cabin. Nobody answers. He stomps the door open forcefully and walks in. Internal wooden cabin morning. A young man sitting down in a rocking chair holds a desert eagle to Blackheart's face.
Okay.
An actual eagle.
Yeah,
or is it a pistol? Doesn't specify. He's trembling in fear. Blackheart pulls off the coat's hood, takes off the goggles and scarf. He takes off his red fur coat, revealing a steampunk outfit. Oh, man, steampunk.
Steampunk, man, right?
Oh, God, I've got...
Right.
I've got a bit of a mind obsession with steampunk, and it's not the good way.
Oh, good, thank God.
No.
I was going to say, imagine you sitting there now in your top hat.
Oh, that Key and Peele sketch. I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
I live in a clock now.
Could you point me to the local apothecary?
You got
you mean the drugstore?
You got yourself a top hat with a door on it. And there's a little mouse in the door.
Yeah. Oh, I love
it's
it.
So good. Oh, steampunk. Oh, honestly. It's just anyway. Okay.
Where do they get those glasses from?
I don't know, man. Where did they get any of it from? I mean, fair play. It just... It makes me laugh. Steampunk. Okay. A red sweater under brown overalls with gold buttons. Several tattoos all over his body. I can't believe you look through the pipe.
Come on, man. That's our friendship.
In what reality did you think there was something at the other end of that pipe? And he looks in it. Okay. He has several tattoos all over his body. And noted... Well, he's got overalls on and a sweater, but yeah, okay. A noticeable one on his neck and a skull with a rose through the eye hole. Okay. Blackheart. What a steampunk guy talk like.
Put that shit down. You're not going to need it.
Young man. What the hell do you want from me?
Nothing. Nothing yet. Just sit there and look pretty for now.
Blackheart pulls out a heavily amplified sniper rifle from a gigantic decorated sack he was holding over his back. Not a comma in that sentence. Yeah. Lost me breath a bit there. Opens the window and starts aiming. Young man. What the hell are you doing, man?
What's your name, kid?
Young man. Rudolph Farkins.
Hey, Rudolph, shut the hell up.
Why the hell are you even here?
Some big scary mothers want to kill you. I was hired to get you back home safely.
Why are these guys after me?
Because your father's a rich dumbass. They're either going to kill you or turn your body in for money, hold you for ransom.
So they're bounty hunters. Oh no. Is that why you picked this script?
No. Complete coincidence.
Okay. Do I need to change Blackheart's voice now?
It's not going to be Dog, Leland, Dwayne Jr., maybe Lisa and Beth are going to show up, are they? Huh?
I mean, I'd be quite disappointed if they didn't. Go on.
Get on the ground, scumbag.
What are those children called? Dog's children. You've just gone through the list.
No, there's 12 of them.
Okay.
Leland, Dwayne Jr., Lisa, who they affectionally call Baby Lisa.
Of course. She's 57.
I mean, yeah. Cletus. No, there's a whole bunch of them.
Okay. Yeah. Blackheart loads the rifle and aims.
Indeed.
Rudolph, why are you...
The same exact thing, retard.
Rudolph, there's absolutely no reason to call names.
How many times do I have to tell you to shut the hell up before you actually do it?
Rudolph goes silent. Blackheart looks through the scope lens of the rifle. He sees a woman walking towards the cabin. He's wearing grey winter clothes. Okay.
Hey kid, take this.
Blackheart throws Rudolph a marksman pistol. He pulls out a wooden-handled axe for himself.
Be ready, somebody's approaching the cabin.
The woman knocks
up. There's Olympic marksman pistol.
Oh yeah.
They cover up one eye.
Oh yeah, and they just make a little click, click, click. Yeah. Like you watch the Olympics, thinking, "Oh, this is a bit wrong. This might be a bit exciting that people got rifles and they're going to shoot at targets and there's like audience around and stuff." And it's the most boring thing imaginable.
I know. It's so boring.
It's so boring. It's like, oh my god, this person's just been riding a horse. Now they're going running. And they're going to pick up a rifle and start shooting at a target. Okay, yeah, turn it off.
Great.
Yeah, no thanks. Anyway.
Strictly's on.
The woman, knocks at the door and waits for an answer. Blackheart.
Who's there?
Woman. Don't worry about it, just let me in.
You're not going anywhere till you tell who the hell you are.
The door bursts open. Is this voice getting tiresome, Stu?
No. Every time you do his voice, another image of him, another piece of the puzzle falls into place. The last time I just got like one of those waxed mustache, like the swirly.
Oh, okay.
You know?
You're flicking through a visual, like a imaginary Google image search of steampunks.
Yeah. Okay. In my mind palace.
My palace. The woman... The door bursts open. The woman punches Blackheart in the nose. Blood spurts out. She's wearing gold brass knuckles with a mouse in a tiny little door on the side. She grabs his face and slams his body into the wooden floor. She jumps onto Rudolph. I've got enough reference points for steampunk things. It's all just Key and Peele.
That's it.
Yeah. She jumps onto Rudolph. He tries to shoot her, but she grabs the pistol too fast. And aims it into his face. She hits him with the butt twice. She hits him with her butt twice.
With her butt.
She just goes. Blackheart jumps towards the fire and jerks out the flaming piece of wood. He hurls it into the woman's face. It bursts, severely burning her face and neck. She screams in agony. Blackheart stomps his booted foot into her face and slams her head into the wall. He holds the axe to her head.
Why are you here? Who sent you?
The woman crying. Sarkov sent me, alright. It doesn't matter. I'm just a distraction.
Good to know.
Blackheart slams into the floor, raises an axe above her neck. Without hesitation, he smashes the axe's blade into her neck. It rips halfway through. He jerks it out, smashes it in again. Two-thirds of her neck is ripped open. He smashes it in one more time. Her head rips off. It rolls down the floor.
This isn't very Christmassy.
It's not, in the slightest. But, you know, it's fun. Rudolph panics. He starts to burst into tears. Oh, God, she's dead. She's really dead. Blackheart laughs at Rudolph.
I remember my first time I killed someone. I was 10. Had the same weak stomach. The victim is a serial killer. Name is Kieran Blackheart. Big influence on my life.
Rudolph, who was he to you?
It was me dad.
What have we got? Stu just sent me a link. If steampunk is the future, please kill me now. Oh man, look at them.
Look at them.
They all look so happy. They look so happy and smug.
The guy's wearing a top hat and like an eyes wide shut mask.
Oh man, he really is.
And he's got like, it looks like he's got like a proper carpenter's respirator around his neck.
Does that he sprayed to look like copper?
Yeah. And the other guy's got a bowler hat on and a medal. And he's holding some sort of copper revolver.
Oh my god. I mean, where did it come from?
It's, for years it seemed like steampunk was one subculture that would never be co-opted by fashionistas. Sure, Will Smith might have dug it out for a while.
Oh, he did? Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, in the where's...
Oh, that was steampunk. Yeah,
it
right.
was.
And scroll down, you see the other guy?
Okay.
He's got like a gun. Is it like a gun? But he's. It's like fed with a pipe from a bottle.
So this says by strapping goggles to their top hats and poncing around rural train museums, lunging at confused children with modified super soakers. Oh man. They've all got the similar sort of expression where they're so pleased with themselves, but like looking a little bit like bemused and irked, like, ooh.
Oh. Yeah. Hmm, what?
I'm a sexy scientist.
Oh, God.
It's quite mainstream, isn't it? You know, there's like a lot of people who are into it. So I do apologise, but I think...
I really don't.
Oh, mate.
If you're into steampunk, then you're stupid.
We should just go and troll some steampunk message boards for the laugh later.
I like, you remember, watch that Ted, Ted 2.
Not seen it, you know.
It's funny, man. It's funny.
No. I've never seen Ted, let alone
it's Ted 2. It's worth a watch. It is worth a watch. It is funny. Ted 2, there's these two characters that are like, there's super, you know, butch, bully kind of jock guys who got a bit older. They're gay. They're a gay couple, but they're just like asshole jock, and they go to one of these comic cons just to take the piss out of that.
Oh god!
Out of these people, he goes, yeah, this is where you get them. They feel safe here, and they're all dressed up like Star Wars or something, Star Trek. And some kid will come over and go, ah! Just slam the drink out of his hand.
Oh, push God.
On the floor.
There's a film similar to that. Oh, God, what's it called? It's got the guy who played McLovin in Superbad.
Yeah.
Where he plays like a LARP kid. And
That's great. Role models.
Role models.
Oggy.
That's really funny, that film.
That's great.
Don't they all end up doing like live action role play by the end of the film? Like they all get dressed up or whatever?
Yeah, they're all LARPing, but like four of them are dressed up like Kiss.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like Kiss.
Star Child.
Seriously, Kiss still? Even Paul Stanley's fed up with Kiss.
It's great. That's a funny movie.
It's a funny film. It's a really funny film. Yeah, I think I could do another watch of Role Models. It's been a little while.
Might join you with that.
Let me know if you hear anything. I've just cracked the window because the heating's fucking insane in this house.
Okay, yeah.
If you hear anything outside, you shouldn't. It's a really quiet little close. But just let me know.
Sure.
Get back into this. Sorry, steampunk folk.
Not sorry.
I'm sorry, he's not sorry, so together we're sorry, not sorry. I hope that's okay. Okay. Blackheart,
there is my father.
The glass window bursts open, bullets fly through. Blackheart grabs the rifle, looks through the scope to see who's shooting. It's a group of men in snow gear riding on motor skis. Motor skis, like actual skis. Blackheart takes the sniper. Blackheart takes the sniper, the sack and his fur coat. Jerks Rudolph off the floor. Smashes him through the window to the back of the cabin. Rudolph's body violently rolls across the snow-filled ground. Blackheart jumps out as well. He looks over to a motor ski. He runs over to it and starts the engine. He jumps into the driver's seat and snarls at Rudolph.
The hell you're waiting for? Get on the goddamn ski.
Rudolph.
It's lit a pipe.
Every time he looks through that scope, I just imagine a copper pipe.
That bends to one side.
There's no lenses on it. Yeah, it's got a little 45 on it. Elbow. Rudolph leaps off. It's a fluffy snow. And jumps onto the back of the ski. Blackheart revs the engine and starts speeding down the mountains.
Put the seatbelt on and turn the other way.
Blackheart pulls an RPG out of his sack and hands it to Rudolph. Rudolph turns his body around, facing the opposite way of Blackheart.
Shoot any mother that comes down here.
Two bounty hunters on skis, with bleach blonde hair shaved at the sides and long mullets at the back.
Yes.
Sleeveless jackets with skulls and studs on.
Get them, Leland!
Demolishing the whole back wall. They shoot assault rifle fire at Rudolph and Blackheart. Rudolph screams in panic.
Pull that trigger, dumbass!
He's got a bit hoarse now.
Pull the trigger!
Rudolph pulls the trigger. One of the bounty hunters explodes. Knocking the other one off balance. Just explodes. The other bounty hunter's body flies off the ski. The ski somersaults down a hill violently right before exploding when it smashes into the bounty hunter. A tear runs down Rudolph's face. His face starts wrinkling and turning red. He turns into a scrotum. Or he's been in the bath too long.
Yeah.
Blackheart.
You're about to cry, aren't you? You're about to bloody cry.
Blackheart swears out of the way of a tree. They're entering the woods. More skis start to spring out of the woods and start shooting the two runways. There's about 12 of them. The ride starts getting rocky, so Rudolph loses his aim. He accidentally shoots a tree. The tree explodes. He's got a pistol. Oh, he's got an RPG, sorry.
Oh, he does.
explodes and collapses on top of four of the skis. That's a good shot.
Nice.
Rudolf shoots a rocket at two of the skis. The ski jumps as it hits a ledge. Rudolf accidentally shoots the ground underneath it. The bottom of the ski explodes, launching Blackheart and Rudolf into the air. Their bodies snap out of the seatbelt, hit the ground 20 feet below with a crunch. Blackheart wheezes in pain loudly, while Rudolf screams. The two of them start spitting and drooling blood.
That didn't tickle.
Continued. Blackheart trembles uncontrollably as he struggles to get up. Blood drips from his mouth. This is not very Christmassy, Stu.
It's not, is it? I expect the only thing is he's called Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like maybe it's like a Die Hard thing where it's just a sprinkling of Christmas and an otherwise, you know, action film. Okay.
Yeah.
Blood drips from his mouth, going between his teeth. It's loads of fun. I'm enjoying it. He groans extremely loud. He finally makes his way up and exhales in relief. He walks over to Rudolf, his legs twisted, the bone tearing out of his leg. He holds his arms out for Rudolf. Rudolf grabs Blackheart's arm and jerks him off the ground. He holds his back for a couple of minutes, spits out some blood, when lifts his head. His nose explodes off.
Yeah, it does.
Rudolph's nose explodes off. Something cylinder-shaped did this. A bullet. Rudolph holds the... I'm just reading this as it's written.
Okay.
His nose explodes off. Something cylinder-shaped did this. A bullet. Rudolph holds the bloody mess where his nose used to be and screams. A bounty hunter on a motor ski lands in front of the two of them.
Oh.
He's holding a desert eagle. The one Rudolph had earlier.
He just shot his nose.
The eagle. The bounty hunter. You left this back in the cabin. Not too responsible on your... Blackheart blows the bounty hunter's brains out with a sniper rifle. Then shoots him one more time. Double tap. Is that what that means? Double tap?
Double tap is normally a quick, like, clack, clack.
Oh, okay. I thought it was, like, a regional term for, like, a double click of a mouse or something. Nope, okay.
Tap, 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 tap.
Like,
yeah. No, like Tom Cruise in that movie Collateral, remember, where he played that badass hitman in L.A.? They were looking at the... I don't know why I thought of this. I must have watched it a couple of months ago. They're looking at the bodies going, yeah, he's a professional. Double tap.
Okay.
Like, two to the chest, yeah.
No way. Have I spoke to you about Tom Cruise flying around in his helicopter when I was in work recently? Did I tell you about that?
I think you did, but not... I don't know if it was on the podcast.
I'm going over old ground. Anyway.
We'll talk about it anyway.
I was working on a big budget superhero film, Captain Marvel 2, recently. And
yes.
On the same complex, they were filming the new Mission Impossible film. The one that's been pushed back and pushed back. It's the same one where Tom Cruise lost his shit over someone not wearing a mask. It's still in principal photography.
Really?
Yeah. It's been going on for so long. It must have cost so much money. But basically, you just see this black helicopter constantly, every single day. Just Tom Cruise coming to work. Tom Cruise leaving work.
Really?
Hovering around, and then just off you go. And the amount of times I was on the phone to people going, oh, look, there's Tom Cruise in his little black helicopter.
Do you think you get bored of helicopters, or it just becomes like a car?
He certainly wasn't bored of it. He was delighted. He was in it every single day.
Was he flying it?
I mean, surely.
Right?
Surely.
Yeah. He's got to know how to do all that. He loves the stunts.
Yeah, he loves all that. It must be, mustn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no traffic.
Yeah, man, but, you know, you keep flying in helicopters, something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
In the
totally
end.
Agree.
Right?
I'm not getting in a helicopter. I'm not getting a light aircraft. Ever. I'm not even that scared of flying. You just see them go down all the time.
Yeah, they do. I did one once from like some mountain range in the Himalaya. And it was this like light aircraft to go. I think the trip was like an hour, but it was from the world's like deadliest airport.
Oh, yeah. Is that one where it's on like a 30 degree angle or something?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Nukla.
Yes.
In the yeah. The landing's the worst because to land, the runway goes uphill.
Ooh.
Which is good because when the plane lands, like it slows down quicker because the runway's going uphill.
Oh, that's good.
But that's good. But at the end of the runway, it's a mountain.
Oh,
so
man.
You can't like go, we'll mess that one up, I'll go around. No, you're going into that mountain.
Oh my God.
But when you take off, you're going downhill and then you just sort of plop off the end of the runway.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, looking back at it, that was a horrible flight.
That must have been terrifying. And, you know, they don't call these things like the deadliest airway strip just because it looks strange. It's got to be a statistic. Like,
the stats.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's backed up by science.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Yeah, I agree with you, though. I've been in a couple of helicopters and stuff. I don't think I'd do it now.
I've never been in one, but it just happens way more often than like a jet, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So, Blackheart blows the bounty hunter's brains out with a sniper rifle. Bap, 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 double tap. Blackheart to Rudolph.
He was talking too much. Merry Christmas
to the dead corpse. Oh, so it's Christmas.
There you go, it is a Christmas. Hey.
Just put Merry Christmas at the end. Silence for a couple of minutes as Rudolph looks at the dead corpse in shock. Blackheart looks at Rudolph.
They got any airports near here?
Music cue. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
There you go.
Oh, so
it is a
so Rudolph got his nose shot off and now he's Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Oh, of course, red nose.
And Blackheart's Saint Nick.
Oh, look at that.
Wow.
That's how they got going. That's how they got started. It's a true story.
It's an origin story of Rudolph.
Silence for a couple of minutes as Rudolph looks at the dead. First draft productions.
Couple of minutes.
2 minutes of silence there.
Dead air is a crime.
A couple of minutes with no sound as a character with no face is looking at a dead body.
Blood bubbles coming out.
Just so it's him looking at a corpse for 2 minutes straight. Wow.
Lovely.
And then just the last piece of dialogue of the film has got no relation to the rest of it.
Got any airports near here?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Sailed, fellow.
Well, red.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Okay, yeah.
It wasn't very Christmassy, apologies.
It wasn't, but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
It's called White Christmas.
You can only read so many Night Before Christmas scripts, can't you? I think we read 2 last year. We've read 1 this year.
Yeah.
So it's different. It's good.
And you didn't want to read the other one I had queued up.
Oh, yeah. Was that a sexy Christmas tale?
Yeah. Yeah, the lady in it, she likey Santa.
Okay. Thanks for sparing me that one, Stu.
It's the season of giving or something.
Okay, great. The last time we spoke, did you want to talk about Tom DeLonge or should we can it for a bit?
Oh, the Tom DeLonge update. Well, listeners, I know this is the first time you've heard from us in quite some time. Fear not, we've been keeping close eye on what Tom DeLonge is up to.
Oh, yeah.
He's been doing some interviews, he's been talking about aliens, he's been releasing some new music. I can't get into it right now, but rest assured we're... you know, we're keeping a close eye on it, so
yes,
we'll bring you all the latest when we get it.
Tom keeps a close eye on aliens, alien activity. He's always on the lookout, searching the internet, watching the skies. Me and Stuart are constantly doing the same thing, but for Tom DeLonge. We don't take our eyes off him, so anything comes up, we'll keep you updated.
So, you know, in fairness, if he does discover aliens...
We'll know about it first.
We'll be the second or third people to know about it.
Yeah.
And you all will be, you know, shortly after.
Exactly. So. And we'll be, like, so quick to deliver a shit take on whatever it is Tom's shit take on aliens is. So don't worry.
Don't worry.
We're back. We're having lots of fun. We've recorded loads of episodes already. Going to carry on recording them. The next time you hear from us will be episode 1, season 3, Bad Screenplays. So, yeah, can't wait. Can't wait till then.
This is good. This is good. Glad to be back.
Absolutely. Got a nice... it was a nice warm glass of mulled wine. It's now a nice cold glass, chilled glass of mulled wine. Gonna go and get another glass now because I love cheap supermarket mulled wine. I can't get enough of it. Sweet and spicy.
Out the box. Out the box.
Out the box. So I'm gonna get myself another glass. Stu, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Very good. Very good.
Listeners,
good to speak to you.
If you're listening to this, you're one of the hardcore. So Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, both of you. Thanks very much for listening.
And me and Stu will probably thank you in person at some point because you probably are friends.
We will, we will. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great Christmas holiday and we will be back soon.
We will be back. Have a great time. Contributors, keep sending us scripts. You've got a couple of hardcore contributors as well. Merry Christmas to you. We've read a couple of your scripts. You will hear them soon enough. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The first bullet through from Santa, they say, into dead men on snow bikes, catching bullets and grenades in the trees they lay. Laying bleeding, they sleep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.